The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' He answered them, 'Stop collecting more than what is prescribed.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And what is it that we should do?' He told them, 'Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. And be satisfied with your wages.' Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, 'I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, and I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, upon hearing the good news, the response of the people over and over is, "What should we do?" How much God loves to hear this question, because it means three things. It means that the persons are humble and recognize that something needs to be done. Not upon somebody else. You know, the Jews understood that the Romans were the bad guys and they needed to change. But now they're saying, "What should we do?" Recognizing that the Messiah is coming to them so that they too may be converted, that they too are sinners. This is a marvelous gift of awareness. We need God. We need Him to rescue us. And so this question implies humility. It also implies trust. Because if we believe that we need to change, if we believe that we are sinners, and we stay at that, then we will despair. Then we will become depressed, because we would think that there's no hope. But this question implies that we have hope. What can we do? They want to know. They trust John the Baptist that this powerful message, this urgent message, can bring about a transformation of their lives. And number three, it implies decision. We want to do something. It's not just a rhetorical question. What can we do? But it's a question begging for an answer so that they can get in motion. And this is what the Lord desires for us in this time of Advent and always, that we are humble, that we trust in His mercy, and that we decide to move forward guided by His Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the good news. And so even though John the Baptist had a very urgent and serious announcement, he's saying, the Lord is going to separate the chaff from the grain. And the chaff is going to be burned, and the grain He's going to collect. But why should we be scared? We have to trust, because the Lord is committed to our salvation. He wants all of us to be gathered together. He wants all of us to be part of His kingdom. You know, this is not like the lottery. You know, maybe if I'm lucky, maybe I make it. But you know, the chances are pretty slim. No, it's not that way. Everyone who opens their hearts to the Lord, who allows Him to come in, to be filled by His grace, will be part of His kingdom. This is the good news. The Lord desires for everyone to be part of His family. In matter of fact, Luke chooses to point out the two groups that were perhaps the most hated by the Jews as examples of those who were coming and asking this question. The tax collectors, you know, they were hated because they were working for the enemy. They were collecting taxes for Rome. And so the Jews despised them. But John the Baptist did not say to them, wait a minute, you know, you're not qualified to come and receive this baptism. Rather, he welcomed them also. They too could change. And he told them what they had to do to be able to change. And the other group were the soldiers themselves. Even them who were working for Rome could now come and receive the baptism and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. In this way, Luke tells us, no one is excluded. And yet, there are some who will not enter into this grace. Some will exclude themselves. And who are they? The Pharisees. The Pharisees stood at a distance, watching what is going on, only to condemn, only to accuse John the Baptist and reject him for what he was doing. Unfortunately, their hearts were so closed that they could not realize their own sin. And unfortunately, this is what could exclude us from the grace of God. When we close our hearts, when we think that we are already okay, when we become self-righteous, and we think the problems are always in somebody else. But if we recognize our own sin, no matter who we are, we all need to do this. Turn to the Lord and ask Him, what shall I do?